podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest Anfield Index Under Pressure podcast. My name's Dan Kennett, and with me to go through Brighton 3, Liverpool 0. I do have the full team. First of all, I have my namesake, Mr. Daniel Rhodes, collection of majors and video analyst and pressing data collection for this one, Rhodes. It must have been particularly painful.
We'll come on to it, Dan. I think we should do an hour-long deep dive on Phil's cricket net.
That would be better. How rusty was he? Oh dear. Yeah. A long day's pressing collection on that, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But that is the levels of service, levels of commitment we show on this podcast anyway, isn't it? To analysing Liverpool.
I'll never get back, but hopefully someone finds some kind of useful information from it, which I think we found.
I think we already have, yeah. So thank you, Rosie, for collecting that. You just heard him chuckle there. It's Phil, fresh from his winter, first of his winter cricket nets. Phil, how many times did you get bowled, mate?
I didn't bat today.
You didn't bat?
No, I was just bowling today, mate. So
did you pull any muscles?
What kind of a net is that?
Well, I was concentrating on bowling, Rhodey, you know?
I thought you were an opening bat.
No, I'm not opening bat, mate. Jesus. All right. At 40, you think I'm going in to open the bat, you know? One of my eyes doesn't work as well as the other, so I can't do that.
Oh, dear. How many muscles did you pull bowling?
My back's in pieces, but that is definitely old age. I'm feeling it at the moment. But anyway.
Nice. from the treatment room, not the ivory tower today.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. And here's and also our most practiced sports scientist. He couldn't sleep. He was up at 5 a.m. The weather was too dirty to go out running, so he was doing preparation for this podcast. How about that? Simon Brundish.
Evening, boys. This is the highlight of watching Liverpool at the moment. Just chatting about what we possibly could put right because it's such a shit show. Watching it, it's nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we are going to attempt to analyse this nightmare. It could be quite X-rated, this pod. So if you come in here for some rays of sunshine, I'm afraid you're going to have to go elsewhere. But we are going to give it both barrels and we're going to try and be as honest as we can with what we've seen and what the data's telling us. But before we do the data side of things, Si, at the end of last week's pod, we talked about possible solutions, right? And what things that we could try and change things, because we thought after the previous game, it was getting to a stage where it's not sustainable. We can't just keep on repeating and trying the same thing. It's the definition of insanity. And we did. And we changed things up. How did we change? Do you want to give us the overview on what we did in and out of possession in the four phases?
Well, first of all, we didn't have Darwin. So
yeah,
that's the thing. And I wonder how much of the game plan was designed around having Darwin or not, even though he couldn't actually practice.
Yeah.
Like, were they set up to, the idea was to play him? Who knows? But on paper, it looks like we went to a weird 4-3-1-2. But we actually just did different stuff in different phases than we'd done before. So, whereas typically this exact team could have just been a 4-3-3 in the exact typical way that we've played in the past with Ox doing Mane's role, which I actually think is fairly well suited to, and Gakpo playing Bobby's role, which he is very, very suited to because that's what he used to do in Holland. But we chose to, out of, I don't know, fear of what we're no longer able to do, or fear of the opposition. I think that played a big role, the fear of the opposition. So we've played against two teams now that there aren't many in the league. There are really three that play man-for-man defence. So Brentford are one. In two phases, they play man-for-man, and Brighton, they're pretty much man-for-man the whole time. And you... A couple of things. When you have possession of the ball, you beat your man-for-man by playing the ball really quick, because the old adage that you will have learned when you were five, the ball moves faster than the man. But when you don't have the ball, you want to make sure that you're covering the technical quality of their man, of their players. And because they're man-for-man, they change up how their system the position of their players against ours. So we kind of have to be ready knowing where they're going to be, because they'll be where our players put them, if that makes sense. If you have possession, problem is we didn't have possession very much at all. So we couldn't dictate where their players were going to be. We were constantly reacting to where their players had got themselves into. And we'd set up with Fab and Hendo being deep pivots. And theoretically, Ox was going to be in alongside, but Ox was released to go man mark McAllister when he was around the ball, when they had a significant phase of possession, that Ox was there to man mark. In the meantime, Thiago, in negative transition, instantly went and got in the face of Caicedo, and try to block the interaction between Caicedo and McAllister, whilst Hendo was there, was deep, getting in the way of the pass, theoretically passing lane of into Mitoma, and Fab picked up Lallana. But when they're man for man, they're physically better than we are. So in how we used to dominate in 3 years ago, we were just physically better than every team we played against.
Yep.
We were just brutalized against these because they're all bigger and faster than we are now. Mm-hmm. And it's a terrifying thing. So we matched up with man for man, which actually just played into their hands, because physically, one against one, they are better than us.
Can you make any sense of the having the Hendo deeper and Thiago higher decision, Si, in this? Intuitively, it might seem better to have them the other way around.
The only thing I can fathom is that if you pick up scraps, which is what Thiago's role was in this game, if there was a player to pick up scraps high up the pitch, he is more likely to kill the opposition from a high zone than Henderson is. That's the only thing I can think. Physically, right. You should expect, if what you're doing is you've weighed up what you
first.
Yeah. But to be fair, he has won possession back. I did it earlier. I think it's 260% of what of the amount of times Henderson's won the ball back this season. So it's 2.5 times the amount Henderson's won the ball, covered the ball.
Mm.
While Thiago is slaughtered for being not Wijnaldum and undoing our system, because you know he's a ball player and he can't get about the pitch and he's a weak link defensively, it's absolutely the opposite of the truth.
Are you that person who has everything? The coolest merch and those must-have fan threads? Well, over at our Anfield Index shop, we've gone that extra mile when it comes to pimping up your Liverpool collection. From our popular range of bespoke design t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies and hats, to our signature edition mugs, prints and coasters, all provided with fast worldwide shipping. We have something for every red. We also stock official LFC merchandise and are licensed with the Premier League and UEFA to sell official iron-on shirt badges and sleeve patches. As a listener to this podcast, you can get 10% off everything with coupon code AIPRO10. Just head over to anfieldindex.shop or find us on Etsy by searching for Anfield Index.
We've got the other two lads in midfield have dropped off a cliff. Thiago's been an absolute shining beacon. in possession and out of possession, but in this game. So the equation I think for Klopp was, do we continue with Thiago playing where he is playing, where he usually plays, and get him on the ball, dominate in possession, and have Hendo picking up the scraps and pressing high up and trying to negate Caicedo and McAllister, or do we swap the other way around, and do we think we'll get more opportunity to kill Brighton if Thiago's high up the pitch? So who do you want high up the pitch, I think, versus who do you want deep? And they went, they decided that they thought the best version was to have Thiago higher, and I think it totally ruined us.
And finally, aside on that one, what about the Salah Gakpo roles up front? How did you see that?
They were just playing left and right and trying to put pressure on the two wide fullbacks of Brighton, which is Pascal Gross is playing right back.
Mm.
Like he'd been a very decent 10 for his entire career, and they've turned him into a right back.
Mm.
Do you not think that's a remarkable thing?
He went and played the six as well when Veltman came on.
Yeah. Like, what a footballer. What a footballer.
Yeah.
I always admired him. I always thought he would have been a good signing for Liverpool like 5 years ago. You could just slot him in, but I didn't realise that he could play right back. But so basically, you've got Lewis Dunk, who's a donkey, but the rest of them are so comfortable in possession.
Mm.
They're all happy to receive the ball under pressure.
Who's that Colwell?
He's on loan from Chelsea. So just before we get onto Brighton so much, right? Did you just see Gakpo left, Salah right in a sort of a two either side of, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly it. They both stayed high. They both were trying to get in behind, but no one was releasing.
So basically, Gakpo just played where Darwin would have played.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Brighton and Brighton's lineup. Second time we played them this season. Second time we've got outplayed by them this season. I guess the first thing I noticed when I saw the Brighton team sheet was they got an 18-year-old lad up front.
Yeah, but I mean, he's been playing. The only change they had was Gross playing fullback instead of Veltman. That's for the Everton game. Ignore the midweek game where they rolled out a few other changes. But the last league game, the only change they made. But it doesn't surprise you, like they're above league average for playing through balls or switches from that right zone where Gross was in.
Mm.
So, you know, we're looking at the Wisecout report beforehand. So it doesn't surprise me when you've got an ex-10 playing in that role that he had such a good game, you know, and then he linked up really well with Solly March down the right-hand side.
Now, one thing March has got is a good engine, for sure.
He's got phenomenal. So he can cover Gross to do the Gross bits. But, I mean, I thought they, as I said in a lot of the pre-match, was they basically two sixes and two tens they kind of played with, and then their fullbacks wide of those, and then two forward. Is it Mitoma and March are doing a lot of the running in the wide areas and work off the ball. So
you know, Mitoma is as the highest expected threat, the 19th league.
He's brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I said on the preview with David that it was. I didn't think they were going to miss the guy who's out of contract in the summer, I can't remember now.
Trossard,
because they are a team, a system, exactly what we were 2-3 years ago. So Minamoto comes in, slots straight in, does exactly that role. Do you know what I mean?
Trossard would have played where Ferguson would have played in this match, and Lallana, because that's what he's done against that before. Okay,
It's just, there's such a system, such well-drilled now. They're just... comfortable in possession. You have Casillo and McAllister sort of sets that in. They're just exactly what I said. If we went man for man against them, we all knew we were going to be. It was going to be a hard game, but I think we played into their hands.
Esther Pinnan has got a huge engine as well, hasn't he? The left back. Yeah, he's a monster. But
he's got to, because he's got to provide the width that side.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
and then Casillo and McAllister, absolute the blend of those two in the centre mid is just unreal, isn't it?
Well, you play Casillo dunk side, so you protect potentially their weakest player on the ball with one of their strongest midfielder. Yeah. So you just allow Dunk to do what he does best, which is clear the ball, head volley, and play it into an area where, or play it to a player who's better on the ball than him. Though they've managed to manifest a side that plays to the strengths of every player on there. I mean, even Alana had good moments because they were getting in the ball in the areas that he could still do stuff. They weren't
he's still got his technique, hasn't he?
Exactly. So they're not asking him to do all the runs back and forth and the rest of it. They're just saying, look, play in this area. We'll get the ball to you and you can cause us trouble. And he did.
Yeah.
You know, he's putting the ball in behind. He was threading the ball into the halves.
He played a lot of wall passes as well. Yeah. Needed balls into some, yeah.
Because he's touched, yeah. His movement, he's still, so he's just there, take it in, play it off me, fine, you play around me, using me, and they'll be in. And
yeah.
We were so immobile in times that he looked a top draw player. I'm not saying he isn't a top draw player, but you know what I mean? He looked like the prime of his life rather than someone who's towards the end of his career.
Yeah.
I completely agree with what Si said about Thiago and Hendo. I also thought it was limiting Hendo as well. So you're not asking him to go and use his engine because he hasn't got one. You sit him next to Fab. He hasn't got to do as, theoretically, sitting in as a six, hasn't got to do as much running. That was another reason I thought maybe they switched the two around. But anyway, it's on a Brian.
Yeah. Right, Rosie. Before we go into the details of the match, give us the really gory details in that much summary.
Yeah, grim. Eight outshot by 10, 16 shots to 6. They had more than twice as many shots in the box as us, 12 to 5. They had 8 shots on target to our 2. That's our second worst shots on target difference behind the 5-0 defeat to Man City in 16-17. That was minus 7. They had 2.1 XG to 1.2. We had 18 touches in their box. They had 39. Again, that's the second worst performance under Klopp, behind, I'm sure you can guess, Man City. Man City, when you look at our negative stats, are literally the top four of every... Top four, top five, three of the top five in every single metric.
Yeah.
When you do it on your spreadsheet, which is the worst, it's always Man City. I have now entered that phenomenon of us being, of absolutely destroying us. And they destroyed us.
Yeah.
The 2.1 XG for them, 3 big chances they had to our 2. I think that's stretching it a lot. We'll come on to that. They had another 6, 7, 8 chances where they messed it up, where the final ball was terrible.
Yeah.
They cut us up. I think they had a 3v1 that didn't even register. They had 1.9 non-penalty XG to our 1.2. It was it's my end call now.
Rosie, on the during the World Cup break, we did a pod reviewing the season so far and what we've got to do. And we thought this is a big chance for a reset. And then we podded after Villa saying, well, there's some things there that might, you know, be things to work on. It wasn't as bad as the previous, you know, the Fulham game, for example.
It was 4 big chances conceded against Villa. And we had 7, which was the best we've had. So it was like, okay, what is this going to... We're still not really being told anything.
I think since then, though, I think it's fair to say that we've actually got worse since the restart.
Yeah, we haven't had it's the third game in a row where we've had a negative big chance difference for the opposition, negative non-penalty XG chance. I think, I looked at this, it's the 10th game in a row when we've conceded higher than 13% shot value per shot for the opposition. So what's the average? 10%, just under 10%?
Yeah,
every single game. In the last 10 games, we are conceding higher on average shots. One of them was a 24%. One of them was a 20%. There's an 18 and a 15. So if a team has 10 shots against us at 20%, that's huge, because 20% can be a big chance on some occasions. So when it feels like the opposition is having really good chances consistently, that's because it is that bad. We're nearly conceding 3 big chances a game on average.
Oh, yeah, so Yes.
Here's a stat that actually probably links to that quite clearly. I just thought about it while we're talking. In the last 3 years, we've given up five or more through balls in a game 15 times. We've won two of those matches. In this game, we gave up six through balls.
Six. Yeah. Well,
and we've only given up six through balls three times.
Yeah.
And two of them were in the last two matches.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, let's start with that then, Si. You mentioned through balls. We always know that through balls are way higher on average than the typical shot. I think the average rate when you get through ball converted just inside the box is about 21% completion rate. When it's slightly outside the box, even there, it's about 16% scoring rate on through ball chances. How does a team get in position to get so many through balls against you?
Well, I think the idea was actually we would set up structurally to block up the middle.
Yes.
So, like, we're obviously trying to do stuff to prevent negative transition, but in possession, yeah, we were funneling down the sides. That was the plan, to funnel down either side and then deal with whatever cross they might put in. But, like, there were two occasions in the first 20 minutes where they had three players outside of our, so wider than on one side of the pitch. They had three players outside of our formation. Right. So nobody was marking them or you theoretically are in a good spot in that place. Right. Two times in the first 20 minutes. And it ended up with a through ball of more than 20 meters long, right through the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a friend of mine just doing his pro license now. And a video of that will be used in the pro license of how not to defend.
Yeah.
You can't set up with three players whose role specifically is to block passing lanes,
yeah,
and have a ball played right through the middle of them. It's absolutely bonkers. It genuinely is the worst situation defensively, structurally, that we've seen amongst Klopp. And we've had some shitty players under Klopp when he first arrived.
Yeah. So, but we have some very, very experienced players in that team. We talked about it last week, Si. We said, how can the team with this much experience in it be executing this badly? And it's exactly the same thing again.
Yes, I think it's players second guessing where they're supposed to be all the time. There's lots of like looking around going, am I supposed to be just here? Am I supposed to be just here? Like it has to be unconscious. Fast football has to be unconscious.
Yeah.
It has to be so well rehearsed that it's unconscious the direction you're going in. So maybe there's a look before a pass, but mostly it's going to be peripheral. And maybe there's a look before you track, or it's mostly going to be peripheral over the relationship between the fullback and the right side of eight or the centre back or whatever. So it's just out the corner of your eye that you feel that sense of where somebody is. And now we're actually looking and sometimes even asking.
Yeah.
And that's where that's why we're just a little bit slow for everything, because no one's quite sure exactly where they're supposed to be. And then if one person's not sure, they definitely, their partner doesn't know where both of them are supposed to be.
So I think that's a really nice cue for Rhodesy to come in, and let's start talking about the pressing here, Rhodesy, because size just described there what I guess we've seen in the data that we've collected and what you saw in detail when you were collecting. So, I mean, let's focus specifically on the first half, to start with. How did you see that, Rhodesy?
Well, I've posted some images in the pressing WhatsApp group, didn't I, about one after 7 minutes. And it's kind of strange. I've never seen it before. But after 7 minutes of the game, we had a line of failed presses just in front of our penalty box. And I was like, what on earth is going on here? It was the most intense first 10 minutes I've collected. I don't know if that's true.
It is true, Rhodesy. I'm really glad you noticed that, actually.
It felt, I was like,
why have I been sat here for an hour and a half and I'm 10 minutes into the game? What is going on?
Yeah. I'm really glad you noticed that, because I've got the list of unwanted records that we've broken with our pressing catastrophe in this game, right? And in the open, you know, I always divide the match into segments, 6 15-minute segments for the Papa chart. Yeah. This is now the 333rd match we've collected under Klopp. And this is the second most presses we've ever had in the opening 15 minutes.
There we go.
70. The only match we've had more was the 4-3 against Man City.
Yeah. That's how it felt.
So
against Brentford, I did the collection after because I wasn't able to do it before the pod. And it was 44 or 45 presses in the first half. And there was, like I said, 70 in the opening 15 in this game. It was the complete opposite. We've been taking.
Yeah, there was 104. I think it was 104 total against Brentford.
Two teams playing the complete opposite.
Yeah. We've been thrashed. Yeah, in two different ways. Yeah,
complete opposite, diametrically opposite tactics against us have destroyed us in two games.
Yeah. And I guess this is one thing we touched on last week, and it's worth reiterating it now. Is it the players haven't quit on the manager? He hasn't lost the dressing room, right?
No.
They're absolutely trying, and last week they were trying as well. And you know, 70 presses, second most ever in the opening 15 minutes of a match, right? You can't. And it was 289. It's the fourth highest ever we've collected in a match. Even when Gag's doing it as well, that's the highest against any team not called Man City. In like 6 years collecting pressing. So you can't say the players aren't trying. It's just we just can't execute. We're just a bad team. A very bad team.
Physically terrible. We couldn't get near them. It was funny, I think Bart's commented in the UP group that we needed a new staff, but not quite able to get count as a press. There was so much of that. Brighton were just knocking it around us like we weren't there. Yeah. And we were trying to stop them in the way that worked under Klopp for so many years.
Do you know what it was? It was like, Rosie, it was like when you collected the pressing for Man United against us last season.
Yes.
Solskjaer.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good shot.
We were like the moving
Fernandes doing eight consecutive presses in a row.
Yeah.
From his own halfway line. On his own.
But we were like the training cones which moved slightly, and they were the team that drilled it around us. You've done your normal viz on this one, and this one stood out like a sore thumb. The Brighton passing network, it was absolutely gorgeous, isn't it?
That's gorgeous. It's phenomenal. And you guys are saying in the Discord and the rest of it, but it's also overlaid the defensive duels and the way they kind of line up a bit with March and Minamito, you know, the wide areas winning it, and then they're also involved offensively as well. So I'm trying to show that you've got a bit of offensive and on the ball and off the ball link. But I mean, you just said there our highest pressing zone for us was 0-15, right, for the game.
Yeah.
So but that is, if you look, I've broke down our defensive duels per 15-minute segment, and that has got, that's one of the highest. The dots are in our attacking third, if you like. But as adheres to what Rosie just said, we only won 4 out of 11.
Yeah.
It's like we're getting there, but we're not getting there in time. So we're losing the duel, we're losing the press. It's just, if you look at all of our phases during the defensive duels, they're dominated by red. Whereas you look at the comparison with Brighton, the red of the non-dominant, if you like, the green all over, and the green in systematic areas as well.
Yeah. That was the beautiful thing. It was like a fan. We put this out on our Twitter channel because it was so good. They got their passing network, and then the duels that they win are all in a fan outside, you know, all in the attacking half in a semicircle around their passing network.
Exactly. It's just one of those where you think that, as I said to you, that's a well-drilled side. They know what they're doing. They know where they're trying to put the ball. And they know where they're trying to win it. And then they get it into the areas they want to play in. And they go from there. It is disappointing to see us fall from grace this much, but I think you're right. We haven't, club hasn't lost the players. They just can't get to the ball enough. I mean,
because we joked, didn't we, in the chat? We said, yeah, Rodie needs to collect a new metric about how many times we wanted to try and press, but we didn't even get close to try to do the press. It's mad.
It's mad. But then, I mean, some of that started from, you know, the data that was coming out during the week from Mark R. Stats.
Right.
It was still coming quite high. And we looked at it, or I looked at it, and the threshold is 8 seconds.
Yeah. I remember now. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was trying to measure counter presses, wasn't he?
He was in the
event data.
So it's a different threshold, if you like. Eight, whereas you guys,
ridiculous.
Is a long, long time, right?
How much can happen in a game?
How many presses did you collect in 8 seconds of this match, Rose?
Oh my words! I thought you might have had some chains swimming down, and it did feel like there were quite a few.
I didn't actually check the longest chain, actually.
Yeah, I thought there might have been some. It looked like we put together a lot of presses in one point, but then Brighton had just, because we were just pushing them back and moving them and moving them. It was either we were moving them and they were playing around us and then getting on a counter-attack. Oh, because we didn't win the ball that much either, did we, Danny? It wasn't that an historic low.
Oh, no, it was awful.
In terms of percentage. Yeah. But our front three, I don't know if we've seen that. I'm not sure we can call Thiago front three, but positionally, in the average pressing, he certainly was part of it. All over Forte.
Yeah.
So the effort was there.
Yeah, the effort was there. I think that's the most important thing. So the only positive is that the players haven't quit on the manager.
Salah, 8 high value presses. That's huge.
Yeah. Well, let's hold the forwards. I've got some specific questions I want to ask you on that a bit later on, Rosie. But anything more you want to add on the Brighton passing and the game plan? Because it was like we were a step behind them the whole way, weren't we? When they were building.
Yeah, I think the network show, you know, volume of passes, but they have a clear structure in every phase of the game, breaking it down in 15 segments. They have a clear structure of where they want to be, where their players are lined up on and off the ball. You can see that in where they're winning the duels and then in the pass network where they're receiving it and playing it. And I hated it from a point of view as watching us have to go through that, but it was great. And as I said about the timing, because they had that clear structure, their timing was absolutely spot on. They were fizzing it in, playing off, moving it around. The switches were working. Whereas conversely, I've lost count the number of times we put a ball straight out, play from a pass.
Oh, yeah. Our ability under pressure. Shocking.
Even not under pressure. A simple ball out to a fullback isn't a pressured ball. Should be easy and put it straight out for a throw. Yeah. And they weren't doing that all game. It was a lovely, from a coaching perspective and looking at how a team should play, I thought Brighton were a joy to watch.
Yeah. Si, you were particularly impressed with their centre mid duo, Koshido and McAllister, yeah?
Oh, they're just phenomenal. There is, you can talk about any physical or technical quality of centre midfield players, and these two are the modern version of that. Like, McAllister is like prime Fabregas, but 6 inches taller and a little stockier, and he can run for days. Caicedo is everything that you thought McAllister was. They are both phenomenal footballers, and they have all they can pass. Their awareness around their first touch is phenomenal. Their interchange is phenomenal. I love them. I'd sign them both.
Well, I mean, a victory for scouting, I think, Si, both signed from South
the
America.
Whole thing cost 16 million quid.
A
deep analysis of transfer committee value, Dan.
Well, it's Tony Bloom for you, isn't it? I mean, Tony Bloom is like, I think he's got the godfather now, isn't he, in the sports data.
Can I add some stats to not those two players, but to what you're talking about?
Yeah.
We talked last week about pressing in the... a lot of pressing is opportunity of pressing comes from a couple of things. One, how much deep possession they have, and they're a ton. So they give us opportunity to press in really high volume. But the biggest problem with our success or failure of pressing is the timing of the moment we lost the ball.
Yeah.
Whether we lost the ball when we were set to and ready to press in the right structure. So what we're doing is we're the reason we have so many presses is because we've got 6 lads that have just bombed forward. They're almost in a straight line, so they're all ready to press at the same time. Yeah. So you can count 6 lads every time somebody gets the ball.
Yeah.
And what we used to have was a wave, a three-pronged wave that would lock around a section of the pitch. So you'd get past the first one, but the second one knew exactly which direction that the player was going to have to turn to get away from the first one.
And that,
so
and let's be clear.
What we're doing right now is, go on.
Let's be clear, that worked as well as it's ever done in the second half of last season.
Yes.
Yeah. That shape and that wave of two threes. Yeah, absolutely. We collected some of the best pressing performances we've ever done back in the second half of last season.
Yeah. Control possession. That's the bottom line. It's just the control of possession. Control possession doesn't need 15 passes. No. It just needs the right pass at the right time. That's all. And now we're playing with a hair on fire.
Yeah.
We're making mistakes mentally all the time in possession, at possession. So nobody knows when they should be anywhere. And that is the crux to all of this.
Yeah. So can we just talk about, can I ask you to talk about Brighton in build-up, Si, because we're going to come on, me and Rosie are going to come and talk about the pressing in more depth in a minute. But just wanted to know, from what Brighton were doing in build-up, why was it so easy for them to play through us and be on our defence so quickly? And then, you know, everybody were running and they constantly seem to have 3-on-2, 4-on-3, you know, against our back line. What is it just the quality of their two midfield players in particular, or is it the system, or is it everything? Well,
their formation itself, they're brave, so they right. always have four lads forward.
Yes.
Which were pressing, which were forcing turnovers, high turnovers for them, so that they got 4-on-3 all the time. That's why it felt like it. But secondly, their second wave of pressing is Caicedo and McAllister, and Gross and Estupiñán, or whatever he's called.
Estupiñán,
drill. Who phenomenal technical footballers, and they're all press resistant in that they're willing to take possession no matter what. They all have a drop of the shoulder and a skill to get out to beat the first man, but we were making it easy by leaving gaps to play through.
Yeah.
And the thing that made it easier for them is that all of their players can receive possession. They aren't targeting one or two players. So that's what teams typically do against us. They're hoping to play one way through one or two attacking players. And it's easier for us to cut off those passing lanes because we know which direction they're going to go. We have no idea which direction that these lads are going to go. They're playing like we did 2 years ago. They're just going to play to the optimal available player.
Yeah.
So you were eulogizing Brighton last season because their XG was amazing. This team is the best version of the thing that you talked about last season.
Yeah. Even when they first came up, I can't remember the name of the lad they had at playing DM. But even then, Dale Stevens was it?
Sumo, wasn't it?
No.
Tottenham, isn't
it? Yeah, I'm sure it was Dale Stevens or something like that. And then they tried to play football and they tried to play. You could see what they were trying to do with Potter, but even then they've just got better players now.
Yeah, they were a little bit more sterile in possession, but they liked the technical version. But I don't think it was possible to predict the quality of McAllister and Caicedo.
Well, to be honest, they were both signed as teenagers from South America. So.
Yeah, but one was a 10 and one was an 8, and they both moved into this amazing position here. But statistically, I just wanted to point out that we had a possession control of -43, and our possession control generally is around -15 as a team. And we usually have two centre-backs, two midfielders, and occasionally one of the forwards in positive or within two of neutral.
Yeah.
And in this game, we had Ibu on 6, Thiago in 2, who's Thiago's usually on 9. And the two centre backs are usually in double figures, positive double figures of winning the ball back against losing the ball. Everybody else was a catastrophe. And if all of your players over the pitch are losing the ball, you don't know where to win it back.
No.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. we don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own two-footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, they're every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Rosie, let's talk about the pressing, because we need to do credit. We need to do justice to your devotion, your effort to collect this. Right. do you want the records first?
Yeah.
So we've already mentioned fourth highest ever presses, most against any team not called Man City. Do you want to have a guess on the failed presses? Because you said this is, you said at the time, this feels like I've never collected this volume of fails. Do you want to have a guess at the final figure?
Of the total fails?
Yeah.
Oh, you've already told me, Dan.
Oh, have I? Sorry, yeah. 84, Rhodesy. 84.
I could have looked amazing then.
but the mad thing is, it's 17 more than our previous highest.
It was awful.
17. How can you be 17 more than your previous worst performance? And that was the 2-2 against Man City, which you collected last season. And I think there's a lot of parallels with that game, right? In this.
Yeah, the fact that we've made Brighton look like Manchester City says a lot. It's hard to know, because everything Si's just saying about Brighton's quality is true. It is true. They are a really good side now. I think we just got to get used to that. But they're not peak Man City good. No. And we made them look like that. And I think the key reason behind that was, clearly, I think everyone knows it was the midfield. I think the pressing stats show that. What did Henderson, 52% efficiency.
52% efficiency. He had 12 failures. 12. Yeah. So we always talk about the importance of failures, don't we, Rhodesy?
Yeah.
Because a man has been bypassed. You know,
well, I think
the system then, you know, what Bart's always talks about is the system being put under stress and instability, isn't it? And that's exactly what a failed press does, right?
Yeah, well, not only that, I think there's a really nugget of information in this, and that's that group pressing is usually quality. And there are 5 players in this game involved in group presses with 100% efficiency. Now, look at Henderson and Fabinho, 25% efficiency in the group press.
Wow.
20% efficiency in the group press with 5. So in a group press for Henderson, he only won 1 of them, 4 of them. So imagine that on a football
pitch. Even when there's 2-1-1.
Imagine that on a football pitch. 2 players commit to 1 player, yeah, and you fail that press. The space is just there for them to just take advantage and exploit. It's your 2 midfielders in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah.
That's what we saw.
Yeah, and as Si's already said, that Henderson was in the deeper role in this game as well, so it was even more costly.
There was just a line of failed presses appearing on this on my screen. Just I'm in the middle of our own half, and I was going, "What on earth is this?"
You know,
After an hour, Dan, there hasn't been any failed presses in our own half.
Yeah,
I've collected games like that. So for this to happen so soon, 27 minutes is a big line of failures.
Yeah. And we joked about the pressing leading to, with the pressing, we couldn't even get in the position to press because we were too slow. Any particular areas where that was most common? Was it the game in the midfield or everywhere?
I think it was definitely the majority of it was in the midfield. There was a couple from Trent, a couple from Robbo, a couple from Matip, if I'm honest, I think. Yeah. Gakpo, there's a lot of volume, but not much from it.
Yeah.
One high-value press down out of 47 is possibly the worst ratio we've ever seen.
Yeah, well, I've got some specific questions on Cody to ask you at the end, right? So the bad stuff, the really bad stuff, Rhodesy, the shots from failed pressing.
Yeah.
Eight shots from failed pressing. Brighton had eight shots, including two of the three goals. The first two goals, I believe, Rhodesy, were both...
Yeah, I wondered if you'd added up the XG. I think it's about 1.4, so about 75% of their XG came from our failed pressing.
Fucking hell. so that's a that was a record. Previous worst was seven. That was the Man United game at Old Trafford earlier this season, and the City to the 2-2 with the Salah game. The 70.9% pressing efficiency for the team, that's the third worst ever. And
I'm surprised it's not the worst.
Yeah. The worst ever was Brentford away last season, which you collected, Rhodesy.
There we go.
But like in the other top six in terms of worst pressing efficiency, all the other five were against really direct long ball teams, right? This is the only one against a footballing team. Short passing footballing team. And they just destroyed us.
I thought I remember the PSG one being particularly bad.
Yeah. Not quite the 70.9 anyway. It's probably low 70, 72, 73 or something like that. And we had 54 presses in the high central zone in the final third in centre of the pitch. That's the second highest ever we've had in that section of the pitch, ever.
Yeah. That was the tactic, wasn't it?
But if you look at the heat map, right, it's exactly where you would want the presses to be if we could execute the game plan.
Yeah, if you could stop them from passing it around you or through you.
Well, yeah, but you said about group pressing. Did you see the one I put in the chat about the pressing chains? It was a record for fail in chains. So yes. The chains is where the waves is, you know, as well as the group pressing, and only 62% of our pressing in chains was effective. It's absolutely madness. So we had these clusters of 2, 3, 4 presses in quick succession, and then to no effect and just being bypassed.
Yeah, not to a lot of effect. The effect was that we were committing a lot of men into one particular pitch, and then they were passing it around it and then attacking on it 3-on-1 on one occasion.
Yeah, yeah. So just to sum up, huge volume, huge intensity, huge effort, no production. We had one shot of our own from press and we conceded eight. Very low possession wins, very low group presses. But then the percentages of how much we pressed, how much we got from it, ultra low. Pressing efficiency, incredibly low. And even the zones, we tried to press high and we, you know, in the middle third, very little in the defensive third or the own half as well. So it was like, I think I've used this line before. It's like you're going to see the Beatles and then the bootleg Beatles turn up. But they were imposters. It was imposters because they were trying to do the thing that they've done, but we just couldn't get anywhere near it, the execution.
Do you know this is the fourth most touches we've ever, any teams had against Klopp? And you know who the other three teams are? The other three matches. You don't know the matches, but you know...
PSG, Barca... No,
Man City.
Oh, right, sorry.
Yeah. Literally more than Barca, more than anybody else. Man City, Brighton.
Salah won at eight high-value presses down, I think.
Yeah.
That's worth a note. It's nearly more than the rest of the team combined, mind you.
Oh, dear.
Anyway. Unbelievable,
Dan.
Go on.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about the second half in a minute when we come to that. Yeah.
You know, I've just noticed from the list of touches against us, right? Yeah. Of the top five, we played a two-man midfield all the way through.
Wow.
Apart from Hendo's top and then the next four, all I would say like you got two deep line midfielders. Because I would go along with that in this match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question to you, Bart, because bring you in for this one. Right, you've just listened to all the horrendous stuff there. Do we need to stop doing it? Do we need to stop trying to press? Because it's becoming more harmful now. We're doing more harm than good, right?
Yeah. I think Si talked about this quite a bit as well. We're not very compact at the moment.
No. Klopp said that afterwards. Klopp said that.
I think actually that was one of the few things he was pretty truthful about. we're not very compact, so therefore we can't. We're older. We can't get to the ball quick enough.
Pitch is too
big. We're asking, and the pitch is too big. You need to change one of those. So we can't change the age of the player unless he goes out and signs three brand new midfielders, which he probably isn't going to do. You either make the pitch more compact to give those older players more of a chance to press and get there in time, or you stop doing it. You just can't. I was listening to you talk about, I mean, and I've only got Jules data, but I mean, final third, they won 7 in the first 15 minutes in the final third. We won 2.
Mm.
You know, in the central areas all game, yeah, we won 6. They won 13, Jules, in the central area. It's just, and that's what we used to be like. We used to be that intense, but I think we are so big now. We're not compact. And if we are just, I think, I don't know why, but we seem to be putting systems in place that nullify us offensively and defensively put us in positions that we can't do. You know, putting Thiago in the 10, not a bad idea. He's on the ball, but you're asking him to do offensive work by not backing him up, by making the pitch is not compact.
Mm.
So he's having to do loads of work in an area we shouldn't have to do. Yeah. It's you're asking two deep line players, but then you stretch the zone they've got to work in because you're not compact enough. It does a lot of things. I try and think things logically through. I can't understand why we're trying to do all the things and not some things. It's just we've got to be more, if we want to carry on doing pressing, we've got to be more compact. We can't carry on doing this big open stuff. So we've got to be braver. I think we've sat off a bit. We've trying to play a deeper line. So we either, as you said, we either forget doing the pressing and do something else, come up with a new way of doing it, which is going to be incredibly hard to do mid-season with 17 to play, or you have to commit. You're going to have to go back to being brave and play higher.
Yeah, imagine, I guess you
just, Dan, imagine if you just had a month-long break to just sort this out.
Oh dear.
And then you get more players injured, yeah. But
I guess the silver lining of everybody in the league thinking you're really, really bad is that they'll play more football against you. So maybe we could sit deep and play counter attack for a while.
Well, I think there was a lot of things that we did try and play counter attack today. Second half, yes, but no, we're not there. We were trying to get the ball and play it into Mo and Gakpo really, really quickly. It didn't work very well because,
yeah.
I mean, you've seen the compilations online that the quality of pass wasn't there, which is one of the problems you do get by switching Hendo and Thiago around. But I think we were trying to play a counter-attack at times. We just weren't doing the off-ball stuff of Sysad of blocking up passing lanes.
Yeah.
Can
we jump to the second half? Because there are very, very obvious moments here that highlight the exact point you're making about counter-attacking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it, say.
So we swapped systems again in the second half, back to how we always play. And straight away, Thiago lays the ball off to Matip. There is a really, really obvious out ball over the top if Gakpo run. I'm really not convinced by his speed. And he doesn't have, to be fair to him, he has no instincts of running in behind. No. So stick Darwin out there or Mane. And or Diaz, and the out ball is on. It should have been anyway. The ball gets dinked over the top of the halfway line, over the top of Lewis Dunk, the slowest man on earth. And we've got probably, in all likelihood, a one-on-one with a goalie. Instead, yes. Matip looks and then plays the ball into Henderson, who was expecting a ball out to Trent. That in its the three things that happened there, we should have played the ball over the top. Instead, we played the ball into Henderson, and Henderson was expecting a ball to Trent. Those three things show the dysfunction of this team. They all should have been expecting a ball over the top.
Yeah.
And in the end, it cost us the goal.
And the game.
There you go.
First goal was going to be massive in this game, wasn't it?
We were never going back from 1-0.
Though we were being battered at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he passes it into Hendo, and they literally had a three-man group press, didn't they, Rhodesy, on Hendo?
Like I spoke about exposing the flaws of players.
Yes.
Hendo is never, ever any good at looking behind him. He doesn't scan. Yeah? So playing a ball into him when you can see two players running at him is asking for trouble. If you weren't going to knock it over the top, you've got to play that to Trent.
Yeah,
I've no idea why Matip plays it, Denison. We're going to lose it there 90% of the time.
Well, heads have gone because Matip played that ball a million times to Henderson.
Yeah, but it's 30 seconds after the restart, Dar. Come on.
I know, you know what I mean. I mean, Matip's, the amount of times he's given a short pass to Hendo in his Liverpool career. But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you put Henderson in a position where he's terrible at. He's not very good at turning. He has to play with the ball in play. And again, that's another reason why I'm not sure playing him next to Fab is any good anymore.
Yeah.
Because he can't turn. So, I'm sorry. That 30 seconds killed us.
Yeah. Sai, next one. You got another example? You said there were some good examples in the second half. Sai, you on mute?
It was the next goal, wasn't it?
Oh, I was going to say, it wasn't that long after.
Let's do that. I mean, this was a good finish, wasn't it, Rosie?
Brilliant finish. Still, Ferguson dribbled through his defence, though.
Yeah.
Oh, the gaps. Painful. Yeah.
This is where Hendo goes to press high, doesn't he? He loses a high duel.
Yeah.
Fab comes across, but he's too close. He's not closing down. And then McAllister, and then it ends up with all our midfield ahead of the ball, and they've got a 3-on-2, and they just play the ball inside of Robbo in Kanate's playing spot, and the player's there, and it's just Matip's too deep, so he can't play offside. It's again another thing about what Sai's saying about the system not being synced up, because Hendo's supposed to be playing next to Fab. Yes, he goes up into the final third to press. So then we leave Fab exposed, comes across, they play a ball in between. Matip's too deep, so we can't play offside. But Robbo and Kanate don't realise that until it's too late. Kanate ends up being a no-man's. And it's a great finish, but it's still... It's a systematic failure of our off-ball.
Yeah, you give, Rota, you give the second goal a failure to Fab on Estupiñán on halfway.
I'll see that.
Yeah, that was a failed press.
It actually came about from Matip choosing to make a stupid long... It wasn't a ball over the top. It was a stupid long ball onto the head of Salah while nobody was expecting it. That's the problem. We're making choices that nobody understands. So nobody predicted any of these decisions. Nobody was ready for the consequence.
Yeah.
So it was all reaction. Ball launched. He was always going to lose it because he always loses it. To be fair, we used to talk about for 3 years how we would launch the ball into the left side of the centre circle for Bobby or Mané to lose.
Yeah.
We were expecting that to happen. We were trying to cause a consequence.
That to happen, yeah.
And in this, he just launched the ball onto the top of above Salah, and no one was there to do anything. And then everybody was surprised and reacted and tried to chase it. It's the chasing that's the problem. We keep calling it pressing, and it's chasing. It's just a different thing.
Because it's not structured. Gag said the number one thing was there's absolutely zero structure to our press.
It's effort. It's Lallana chasing.
Yeah.
I think, exactly. Darpy said heads had gone early on. I think this has head gone. Matip's made the error for the first goal. This is 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
And it's ironic they were doing a lot of chasing of Lallana, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It is. Well, did he last an hour? An hour? I can't remember how long he lasted. An hour.
Yeah, and I think there's a huge point. If you look at the defender, every single defender in our team this season feels like they've fallen off a cliff. Maybe other than Kanate.
But Kanate looks so...
Everybody else do.
And then, I think Kanate is a better... Kanate is a better reactive player than... A reactionary defender than the others. Yeah. I think people think he's a front foot defender, and I don't think he's very good at that. But I think he's a good break glass of emergency because he makes bad decisions, so he's used to break glass in an emergency. And so he looks good in these situations one-on-one. Van Dijk used to be brilliant at everything, so he could do this, but he prevented it from happening, and now he's not as good at doing the reactionary stuff. So Kanate looks kind of better, even though in this game he wasn't great, but it looks better because he's better at reactionary stuff. Matip is just all front foot.
But so we've also asked them to do different things. Like we used to be high line, defend big spaces. Yeah, now we're dropping off. We're like, right, defend. I think it's a different We're asking it is, to be defensive.
It's the opposite of mindset. It's not proactive. It's reactive. You, and we're not. We don't have reactive defenders.
Exactly. So we have a go saying that we have 7 years training this offensive side, but we've also spent 7 years working defensively, and that includes the centre backs. And we're now asking to do something completely different. This is not how we defend. We don't defend with a deep line.
It's like recruiting Naby Keita and playing him in a Pulis side. It's just something they aren't capable of doing.
Yeah. Exactly, or playing Elliot in midfield.
But you're just talking there about reacting in defence, but then we were quite proactive in attack in terms of the pressing. So, like, that's the complete opposite.
Yeah,
Dan, I don't think it's proactive in pressing. I still think it's reactive because it's not cohesive, and cohesive is proactive.
Yeah. But there was 120 pressing actions from the front three, if you include Thiago. That is a lot.
Just volume. Yeah,
it's just volume.
It used to be we would be proactive in attack and defence, and now we've got a mix and match of.
Yeah, and it's not synced.
You can see the consequences. No one's got a fucking clue what to do.
It's the four fewest touches we've had in opposition's box of the clock.
Is it?
Yeah.
And the second fewest as a percentage of the total number of touches.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, mag boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
It's whatever way you look at this, it isn't a great...
So, just on the pressing again, Rosie, bring it back. The two goals here were the fifth and sixth shots from failed pressing in this match. I just wanted to quickly see if you could remember any of the other ones. The first one I got was Ox on McAllister after 7 minutes, centre of our half. It leads to the Solly March one, which is blocked over the bar by Trent.
Yeah,
can you remember that one?
Yes, it doesn't. I think it gets close enough to count it as a press, but not close enough to the player. And there was a bit of that, yeah.
Yeah, there was Thiago on Estupiñan 10 minutes. That leads to another Solly March shot. Yeah,
I think Thiago was incredibly proactive in his pressing from that role, to be honest. And he was committing a lot. And I thought we had a couple of moments where he did win the ball back and.
Yeah.
Either Gakpo didn't make the right decision or there was some good defending by that Colwell, to be honest. He snuffed out Salah a few times when I think we won the ball back for Brazil. But yeah, Thiago just commits and he goes around him easily, like Si said about how his technical level.
Yeah, the next one, Salah was on Colwell. Ball inside Trent for the Mitoma big chance in the first half. Yeah, that
defending from Trent is flat-footed.
Yeah.
And doesn't anticipate it, and Mitoma's gone.
And then there's one on Salah on Caicedo, centre of Brighton half. There that ends up with a Ferguson shot on the break, and just before half time. They've all melded into one, Rosie. it was a litany of disaster. Can we talk about us on the ball, guys, briefly? Si, we were toothless, right?
we had a terrible structure. You can't give Ibu the ball. Basically, he was our playmaker. In the first half, Thiago had 22 touches. Like when he moved deeper, he got on the ball and he ended up as a six. So his numbers look a little bit more like a normal game, but they're not. How we were building, I've no idea the idea of how that Trent has played. This is the fewest number of touches in a game for 176 matches.
Wow.
By Trent.
But and specifically, he was the one who was pushed more forward again in the first half, right?
Yeah, so he was completely he was third phase of possession before he got the ball.
Wow.
And bear in mind where Thiago was playing. Thiago was in the third phase as well.
So
the guys you want are in possession. The three threats in our team in possession were in the third or the fourth phase of build.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. And you end up as a team with 37% possession against Brighton. Yeah, in the match.
Makes no sense.
No.
You know, I do the one with only upper half passes.
Yeah.
And to register on that, you have to have 4+ passes between the players to get a connection.
Yeah.
Right? First half, no lines. Second half, no lines. The only, if you combine those two together, you get 2 lines out of the entire game in the opposition half, and that is Henderson to Trent and Thiago to Ox. They are the only 4+ connections of passes made in the opposition half all game.
Wow.
And that is shocking.
This is the fewest completed final third passes by Trent since 2017.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to play counter-attacking.
It started at the beginning of the season I actually don't think so at all. If you look deep down, we started talking about it last year, but though we were very excited, how we played changed and we started to get worse. Our process was worse. I kept talking about it when we brought the first street baller in, and the street baller did enough to make up for the deficiencies to the system. I don't mean to diminish Diaz because he's brilliant, but it definitely changed how we play. Yeah. And we continued this. Mo got slaughtered and battered because he was out of form and terrible from coming back from AFCON, but how we used him completely changed. And we've basically forsaken one of, now in this game, our three best players for, I really don't understand, but we've marginalised Mo completely.
Yeah, I started Wilson, moved Mane into the central area, so we changed the role of our 9 at that same time, didn't we?
Yeah. So got to Mo changed.
Whereas it used to be interactive with Bobby doing that, with Mo would get more of the ball. But I think you're right. We by moving Thiago in that area, we nullified him, Trent and Mo, when we're away from home. Like you need quick ball out, you need quality ball out if you're going to play some sort of counter-attacking football. And we didn't have any of that because we didn't provide our best ball players with the ball.
So I think we play really narrow so that we can press the centre of the pitch and stop through balls, which we didn't, obviously.
We didn't do that well, no.
No, we did it terribly. At the expense of any kind of width and creating space across the pitch against the opposition. And we attempted 2 switches in the whole game. Last season, there were games where we did more than 30. Like, Virgil averaged 9 for his season and a half.
So we're talking about inexplicable decisions, right?
Tactical decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think the thinking there is, chaps? Come on, let's put ourselves in the coaching staff's shoes, right? There was a conscious decision to move Trent higher and play Robbo deeper when, you know, most of the season it's been the other way around, right? Trent's been sort of in a back 3 in build-up, yeah? And we inverted it for this game. And what's the thinking?
But I don't think that's the worst thing. I think it's the lack of width.
I think in this game it was. I don't know. Without you, you do the scouting, right? I know 3 things about this team that we're playing against.
Yeah.
That they have 2 fantastic, unpressable centre mids.
Yeah.
And they have the best outlet in the country on their left wing.
That's the pin on.
But
No.
Mitoma. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. So I would be trying to nullify that thing because I can't really nullify the thing in the central midfield. And what we seem to have done is forget that lad. Let's stop him getting the ball by making the midfield as compact as possible. And we didn't stop him getting the ball at all. And so we totally left ourselves open. And I don't understand so many of the tactical decisions. How we build, I don't understand. I don't understand what a Liverpool goal looks like. If you look at any of our good players' top 100 goals under Klopp, Liverpool goal looks like three or four lads arriving in the box at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a synchronized manner. Yeah.
And we're just not creating those opportunities anymore.
Okay.
To go to your point there, Si, about what we didn't do, as I said in the scouting, the zone they play the ball to Milinauto to is their wide midfield.
Not right getting zone. His name at all, are you?
No, I'm not, no. But my point is that by asking Trent to go high, he's not covering the zone that the ball's going from. No, the other way around. By not asking Robert to go there, he's not covering the ball that we need. We need to protect that zone for it not to go to the side where Trent is. It's the complete reverse of what we should have done, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The ball gets played from the right midfield or right defence zone. They have that above one of the highest rates in the league, through balls from that area or switches. Yeah. We didn't do anything to nullify that. We just went, yeah, go on then. And then we also let the guy who's got the highest XT have a free run because we pushed our fullback out of the zone that he operates in.
Yeah.
But then you leave Robbo back to defend the lad that scored twice.
Yeah. Whatever we did, it didn't. I don't know. If you look at some of the average positions, we're in the middle areas. We're not out wide in the wide left and right zones. We're not out there at all. We're going in the average position. So I don't know whether that's us trying to compact a little bit, but we're still too deep. We still have too much length to our position. I can't fathom why we decided to do this. I really can't.
Yeah. Mitoma 12 touches in the box, say. It's good, isn't it?
We had 14 total.
March was 7. We had 4 shots from his 7 touches in the box.
There you go.
Yeah. Mitoma looks tasty, doesn't he?
I mean, you knew what they had a PPD of 9.13 for the last 5 games. You know what they're going to do. Do you know what I mean? It's not. They bang on their XG conceded for the last 5 games at 6. There's so many things you knew what they were going to do, and yet we set up not to defend against that.
Do you know what it felt like? We were Bournemouth and they were Liverpool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole match was played out.
By Eddie Howe.
Yeah. The whole match was played out from the perspective of Brighton were the team, the Champions League regulars, and we were the mid-table cannon fodder for a routine home win. That's exactly what it's saying. We've seen that match so many times on the clock.
Yeah.
At Anfield. Yeah.
It was
first time I can remember seeing it in the opposite direction and to such a degree when the team is not massive.
It's the first time it's happened.
The only thing that didn't match that CL matchup you said was the fact that a CL team would put some of the reserves out, right?
Yeah.
They just went full strength. So
yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, first time it's happened, but we are absolutely taken apart. Question, chaps, on our build up and our attacking back. What was how did you see Cody Gakpo's role? What was the plan for Cody Gakpo?
I think Si put it. I think we set up to play Darwin.
So, you said Gakpo doesn't want to. You specifically said he doesn't want to run in behind.
Yeah, he looks like he doesn't want to run in behind to me. He's not
a centre forward though, is he?
No, he's not. He's a wide player, and he looks.
But wide players running behind. Mo and Manny ran behind all the time. His body shape wasn't that he wants to run in behind. He looks like a ball first. So rather than he looks like a ball first player, and he wants to come to the ball.
Yeah,
I think he wants to come from deep. I don't think he wants to be on the last line. If that makes sense. Because in the second half, when he picks the ball out wide and puts in 2 crosses, he looked a bit more comfortable. I know the game's dead, but it's just he was in an area where he knew what to do.
So,
whereas this game, we put him going and go and play up front with Mo.
Yeah.
Second game in the Premier League. Yeah.
It would have been better doing a one-on-one then? you know, if he was a 10 behind Mo, would that have been better? If he was,
it would have been better if we had the ball. I think it's hard to judge him. We just didn't have the ball.
We didn't have the ball. It would have been better in playing. To be fair, in playing wide left and putting Ox down the middle, played a kid where he's used to playing.
Yeah.
Don't change his role. Second game he's in the country. I never understand why we do that. He's used to playing
this
way.
We don't usually do that. That's the whole point. We don't usually do that. We usually profile players for a specific role and they shine because they're playing the exact thing. They're doing the exact same thing that they're used to.
This is like caused by injury, whatever. Presumably, I'm
well, I don't think the profile thing is caused by injury, but yeah.
No, but you know what I'm saying? I don't think we bought Gapco to play up front. Come on.
No, I don't. No. I agree either. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Playing him up front in this game.
I mean, in our traditional system, you know, a classic 4-3-3. The only role, basically, he looks like he could do there would be the Bobby role, right?
What, Gapco, you mean?
Yeah.
Unless he's going to play the Mané role, yeah.
Obviously. And then the question is, we have to see whether he is good enough on the ball to play that role. We shall see. Rosie, I have a question for you on our pressing data, because one of the things we said before he joined was we had doubts over whether Cody Gakpo can play in a pressing system, and I wanted to talk to you about his 47 presses in this game, which is a very large number, right? However, what I want you to do is just talk. Well, first of all, it's easy to say 47 presses, one turnover, right? That's not, he's not getting much production from his effort there, right? But that's in theory the kind of thing we'd want a bit more at this point. But that's the kind of thing that can come with familiarity in the system.
Yeah.
Back in the day, right? But what did you see in terms of his intensity, his purpose, his intent, and his in his pressing?
What did you see? Clearly, lots of effort. 47's a lot. Efficiency 81%, decent. One of the best on the day.
What about when you were collecting it in the actual the video footage? Because you watch these things in slow motion, don't you, and stuff like that. What did you think of him? The way is, you know, you've collected Mo, you've collected Mané, you've collected Bobby, you've collected Jota. What did you think of his? Is there any positives there? Is one I'm not trying to ask, I guess.
The positives is I think he reads the game quite well. But I don't think, like Si says, he's definitely not the quickest over the first couple of yards. There was a lot of solo pressing, I think, with him. 45 of the 47. That's to be expected. They're not going to be in sync with the system, especially when some of the experienced players who played over 300 games on the club.
Yeah, quite.
Not doing similar.
But what we're looking for is those early signs like we saw with Ox, like we saw with, you know, even Harvey Elliott, maybe other players we've seen over the years. We want to see those early signs of what are we getting with our unique data here on him.
I think to use him, he needs to be constantly around the player that he's going to be pressing. I don't think we can expect him to cover big spaces.
Like a whole back line like this.
I don't think that. I think with Mané, Salah, Firmino at the peak, they were able to run 10, 15 yards to a press because they'd all be in sync. So the pressure you were putting on the first one slightly affects the person once he's passed it to the next guy. But that guy has then got Firmino closer to him, so it puts him under more pressure, and that kind of thing happens. Don't think we can expect that kind of... it's a dirty word in Liverpool circles, intensity from Gakpo. But I think if you could mark a player like in a six, if they just had a single six, I think he could mark a player in that 10 role really well. I think he's decent when he gets to them, but we will see more of whether it works in a more synchronised manner with other people. It's going to be 47's a lockdown.
It is. It is, but then again, we only had 37% of the ball, so...
We did. That's huge.
Yeah, So, yeah, it was 40 possession adjusted, which is the mythical barrier, 40, so to be fair, he's done that. Anyway, I did ask before the pod in the Under Pressure Discord chat for if anybody has got any questions about this match we want to ask. I have got a few lined up, so Bart's just going to come to you first to this one from Patrick. How much is Moses Caicedo worth to us after that performance?
you know, I suppose it's okay. Should we buy him? Yes, we should have bought him in the summer. Like when Brighton increased the price in the summer, we should have paid for it then. Would I buy him now? Of course, I would.
Because he's expensive anyway, right?
He's expensive anyway, but I mean, come on,
he's worth even more to us, right?
He's worth even more to us now. Can he do it on his own? No. I think you need two. If you're going to make an investment in January to try and change this season, you need two midfielders. And if Moses Caicedo, I think he's one of them, fine. And you need another one of that type, because otherwise you get or you start playing Naby more than 30 minutes a game.
But Poseidon did also call him Prime Makalele. So
but he still, you can't expect him to come in and rescue our season on his own, because he's got to play with two.
But he would instantly.
He would instantly improve
the intensity
for sure.
The speed, yes.
Oh, but you know where we just said
pay the agent fees. I say,
but you know what we just said about the opposition targeting weakest areas. So therefore, if you're playing in a midfield three with Henderson, Fabinho, and Moses, which side of the pitch do you think they're going to target?
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. He can't do it on his own. Would he have an impact? Of course he would. Would I sign him? Of course he would. It's not my money. I would buy him, and I'd buy somebody else as well. Yeah.
Question from Olkin Cole, why are all our players late to arrive to challenges, and why aren't players being followed up when they press? I think you've touched on some of this.
I think we've covered this in depth already.
Yeah, okay,
yeah. Cool. The structure, the timing's wrong of everything, because the decision-making's wrong.
Yeah. And question for... the tactics one again. What do we think about Gomez playing right back and changing Trent's role?
At this point, I've been completely against moving Trent from right back for the whole of his career. But at this point, the fucking ridiculous obsession with his positioning and where he plays in which phase of the game, I'm just behind sticking anybody at right back and sticking him in midfield, because it means Henderson's not going to be there, and addition by subtraction is so huge for us right now.
And Joe is so off the pace at centre back now. It's unreal.
And if you bought Moses and played Trent in midfield, there's your two. I'm just saying, if you're going to do something, you might as well do something. If you're not going to buy two, sod it, I agree with Si. Put Trent in midfield, play Joe at right back, tend to stay at home too much. You've got two more athletes in the middle of the park straight away.
Yeah. Ash, we've asked Ash's question about Thiago as the 10, why? And the other question, Roberto De Zerbi, is he a potential long-term successor at Liverpool FC? What are you thinking about the Italians coaching at Brighton? So far, he looks pretty impressive to me.
I love him. I love it. He's Italian. Sign me up. But I don't even want to think about it. I don't know how we recover from here. I don't, having not been a Twitter fan for the last 5 years and having lived through devastation and humiliation for 20 years of my life, I'm not ready to face up to it yet. And I seriously don't know how we recover from this, but I don't see how we can by changing everything, if that makes sense. So I don't think a new manager comes in and works under the same circumstances that Klopp is working in now.
Well, we've just said the players haven't quit on him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the players have quit. I just don't think he's tasking him with the things that are appropriate for them right now. I think he is having a terrible season.
But why are our tactics so bad?
I think he's having a terrible season.
Yeah.
I think he said that. He pretty much said that in the post-match presser at Brighton.
Yeah.
Said he's never, ever in his whole entire management career felt like this and had a game like that. If you're going to take anything, I think this game's a watershed. I really do.
Well, you'd like to think so, the way he was sounding, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he was sounding completely. I mean, I know he's sounded down before, obviously, but there's been mitigating circumstances, like, you know, personal issues and the rest of it. But this one, generally, from a managerial perspective, he sounded completely and utterly beat.
Well, yeah, because he did. He went over and there was a brilliant photo.
Yeah,
he was praying to the away end, the travelling cop, wasn't he? And, you know, asking for forgiveness, wasn't he?
Yeah, even the Sport Today presser for the Wolves game, he was still... Yeah, okay. he'd be still quite, he thought about it, but he didn't offer any solutions. He's not getting it. But I'm just saying, this seems, I do, if you're going to take anything out of it and you've got to try to, this seems to be a really big moment for him.
We'll see in the team selection tomorrow.
We will. We will. But then he hasn't, I mean, what's he going to do? But he's, so, is he going to play kids?
I thought the weird thing is that some of the fan media who have been largely pro the English lads in midfield and largely against playing Naby Keita were fully behind Naby Keita earning his place in this team and were all livid that he wasn't in the team this week.
And to be fair, though, I think he's deserved to start for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's going to need more than one. It's going to need more than that.
But the Klopp got asked about playing the kids or not today, and he said he's got to go full strength.
What is full strength? That's the problem.
And that's my point. That's what I'm saying. What's he going to do? What's his full strength? But he hasn't got.
If I was at full strength against Brighton, I don't want that to play against Wolves.
No, because we'll get beat.
We'll get beat.
Yeah. There we are, I'm afraid. Right.
I'd say more that we'll win.
Yeah. Play counter-attack against Wolves with Nunes and Salah. Yeah. See what happens.
I do think
but the thing is, you've no idea. We managed to, even though Brighton were better than us, we managed to not concede in the first half.
Yeah.
If you stick, if you at some point end up with Ox's chance going to somebody else and it going in the back of the net.
That's 2-1,
We could have managed to not lose that game. We could have potentially won that game with all of the shit that is going wrong in our team right now. All of the processes look terrible. We could have fluked our way to another win, a little bit like Villa.
Yeah, but that would have been like Leicester. It would have papered over the cracks.
Yeah, but
Sometimes you need
that. It is possible. That's what I'm saying. We could continue this with a shitty win in the cup.
Yeah. Dan, I think the key for me is it was the 23rd time out of the last 35 games that we conceded the first goal.
Yeah. Well, did you see the James York stats bomb stuff? XG difference when tied, and we are negative this season.
Yeah.
Just such a change from where we were. That was our number one. The time spent winning, the XG when tied. Oh, God. Yeah. How we've fallen.
Not conceded. Scoring the first goal from a set piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what? That's almost got to be a target now. It's right. You've done a half not conceding. Just, I'm being serious now. Go 90 minutes without conceding the goal.
Yeah.
Do that or go 90 minutes without only conceding two big chances.
Yeah, how many big chances?
We've got full Roy Hodgson.
No, but I think you've got to start somewhere. You've got start.
I don't.
Two bounces for four.
And on paper, I'd agree, but I don't at all. I don't think these players can put in a stoic defence on the edge of their box, and that's not how they defend.
No, I'm not saying
can't defend the way we're designed to. We currently aren't doing it, and because it's so inextricably linked to what we do with the ball, and that's the thing that we're failing at. I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
The only thing we can do is hope that no one makes a gross mistake again, which we keep doing.
Yeah.
So this.
But we're all agreed, though, the team is broken, right, at the moment. The system is broken, the process is broken.
That's the beauty of the system, is that both the attack and the defence are so intertwined that they work really well. And now one is broken, it breaks the other.
Yeah. The attack has been okay for large parts of the season, and now, we're getting dragged down there.
But even still, like I shared in the group the other day, the XG2 values.
Oh yeah. But we're saying we've been having the chances. We've just been appalling finishing. But
but now which is costing us game state.
Yeah. True. But now the attack is dipping as well. So
now we're not even creating the chances that.
Yeah, this is the worst state of affairs. Absolutely. Right. Anyway, we shall be back next week for the Wolves and Chelsea doubleheader. Until then, up the Reds.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.